Welcome to First Formation, spiritual exercise for Christian soldiers looking to get up and pray. Join Pew Pew HQ every weekday morning to hear the good news through grunts and with grunts in the unity of the Holy Spirit as one church forever and ever. Fall in.
Psalm 102, verses 12 to 28. But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You are remembered throughout all generations. You will arise and have pity on Zion. It is time to favor her. The appointed time has come. For your servants hold her stones dear and have pity on her dust. Nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth will fear your glory. For the Lord builds up Zion. He appears in his glory. He regards the prayer of the destitute and does not despise their prayer. Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that the people yet to be created may praise the Lord, that he looked down from his holy heights from heaven. The Lord looked at the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners, to set free those who doomed to die, that they may declare in Zion the name of the Lord, and in Jerusalem his praise, when peoples gather together and kingdoms to worship the Lord. He has broken my strength in mid-course. He has shortened my days. O my God, I say, take me not away in the midst of my days, you whose years endure through all generations. Of old that laid the foundation of the earth and the heavens, of the work of your hands, they will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your ears have no end. Your children of your servants shall dwell secure, their offspring shall be established before you. Job chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. Then Job answered and said, of that my vexation were weighed, and all my calamity laid in the balances, for then it would be heavier than the sand of the sea, therefore my words have been rash. For the arrows of the Almighty are in me, and my spirit drinks their poison. The terrors of God are arrayed against me. Does the wild donkey bray when he has grass, or the ox low over his fodder? Can that which is tasteless be eaten without salt, or is there any taste in the juice of the mallow? My appetites refuse to touch them. They are food that is loathsome to me. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would fulfill my hope, that it would please God to crush me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. This would be my comfort. I would even exult in pain unsparing, for I have not denied the words of the Holy One. What is my strength that I should wait, and what is my end that I should be patient? Is the strength of my strength of stones, or is my flesh bronze? Have I any help in me when resources is driven from me? Mark chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed from Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea and from beyond the Jordan and from around Tyre and Sidon. When the great crowd heard all he was doing, they came to him. And he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him. For he had healed many, so that all who had diseases pressed around him to touch him. And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And he strictly ordered them not to make him known. Good morning. This is Tim Tribble, broadcasting from Sacramento, California. Today's readings come to us from Psalm 102, verses 12 to 28, Book of Job, chapter 6, verses 1 to 13, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. Job, what do you say? The book of Job is about the trials and temptations of a man true to God. And it's, Murphy, you know Murphy's Law, right? We all know. If we've been in the military, you know Murphy's Law. We live it every day. So here we are. If Murphy were a book in the Bible, it would be Job. Everything that can go wrong did go wrong, and yet Job, throughout it all, with all his wailing and crying and the ashes on his head and tearing his clothing and all this that went on, remained true in his faith that God was with him and God would help him. And all of us in our lives have been through those really, really, really tough times. For those of us in the military, I know in the Marine Corps they call it the crucible. When I was in basic training in the Army at Fort Dix, New Jersey in 1984, it was called Paragon Trail. But it was the 72-hour, that was where we went out, we were in the field. In our case, in the Army, we went down this trail, and at different portions in the trail in your squad, you had different things. We had the machine guns firing at us, we had the gas area where we were gassed, had our gas masks on, the ambushes and all that stuff that went on to test us and everything that we had learned in the previous 8 weeks of basic training. It's not easy. It's very difficult, very tough. Of course, things went wrong. We had a lot of sand out there. Our M16s were getting jammed all the time. Remember sports? Yeah. So we were doing that a lot to clear our weapons. Of course, firing blanks was never a good thing in the M16 either. That always caused problems. But again, when we're faced with difficulties, when things go wrong, when we're in these horrible situations where things just don't go right, and horrible things seem to be happening to us, that is the time that is so, so important for us as Christians to stop, pause, take that deep cleansing breath, and give it to God. There's a saying, you've heard me say this before in the podcast, there's an old saying, God will never give us more than we can handle. And of course, I do not agree with that statement. My version, if you will, of this, God will never give us anything greater or more than we can handle together. It's always with God. There's a great poem, I'm not going to read it right now, you can look it up, called Footprints. It's a very powerful, because it talks about, this is a person reviewing, going back and looking back at their life as if they're walking across the sand on the beach, and there's two sets of footprints where you see Jesus is walking with them, and there's only one. In areas, there's only one, Lord. Why? Why did you abandon me? And Jesus replied, I didn't abandon you, I carry you. To have someone who has your six like that, there is no greater partner. There's no greater battle buddy. There's no greater to be with and to put your trust in, because God will never let you down. And that is a cornerstone of our faith, as God doesn't let us down. If we are faithful and true to God, if we go to Him in prayer, if we work diligently in our lives at being as Christ-like as we can be and take that seriously every day, God is with us. God will always take care of us. In our reading in Mark today, this is the waning days of Jesus' ministry in Galilee. So, when Jesus started his ministry, he didn't go down to Jerusalem at the southern end of the Sea of Galilee, which was the center of the Jewish faith. That's where the tabernacle was and all of that. That's where you went, the sacrifices and everything were made there, and the high priest, etc., etc. That's not where Jesus started. Jesus started in Galilee, up all the way other end of the Sea of Galilee, up north. He was in the outer rim, if you will. And he had been up there going in the synagogues and teaching. Now, people referred to him as rabbi, as teacher. And that's how he was viewed. He was this great teacher. And he healed people. And he cast out unclean spirits. So he attracted quite a bit of a following. Now, earlier in the chapter 3 was when they were trying to kill him. So Jesus is, we're getting ready to get out of here. So he withdrew with his disciples to the sea, told them to have a boat ready for him. And he went in the crowd and continued to heal diseases and cast out the unclean spirits. And here's the thing. Jesus could have stood in the boat and put his arms up and made this mass, you know, prayer, healing, you know, whatever you want, however you want to phrase it. He could have done that en masse. Jesus was in the crowd. Jesus was a one-on-one person. Jesus wanted to be there, have that face-to-face contact with the people that he was healing and the spirits he was casting out. And one of the things here is these unclean spirits, they knew who he was. And they would cry out, "You are the Son of God." And he would tell them, "Nope, stop. Do not make me known." Couple of thoughts behind that. He didn't want false acknowledgement. Was probably one of them. And the other one, it wasn't time yet. That doesn't come until the end of his ministry. In the last 4 days, of course, when we make the grand entrance into the city on the back of the donkey, and where he is declared the King of the Jews. So it's not that time yet. But Jesus, again, is out with the people. And this is something so important for us. We as Christians have a tendency to hide behind the walls of our church building. And it's really important. We need to be, if we're going to minister effectively, we are going to be living that Christ-like life. If we are going to be emulating what Christ did, Christ was with the people. And it's really, really important for us to be out with the people, in and amongst them, ministering to them, taking care of their needs, helping them out, showing them God's grace. Amen.
A prayer for victims of addiction from the Book of Common Prayer. O blessed Lord, you ministered to all who came to you. Look with compassion upon all who through addiction have lost their health and freedom. Restore to them the assurance of your unfailing mercy. Remove from them the fears that beset them. Strengthen them in the work of their recovery. And to those who care for them, give patient understanding and persevering love. Amen. Thank you for falling in to First Formation, where Pew Pew HQ shares morning prayers for the humble, hardy folk caught in the crosshairs of God and country. If you like what you've heard, you can participate in one of the three following ways. First, you can support the podcast by clicking the link in the show notes. Or, if you serve military families, subscribe to First Forward, a paid subscription feed providing commentary on Sunday lectionary texts a week in advance. Use it for sermon prep or just because you support the troops. Second, you can become a co-host by recording a lectionary reading for a future episode. Instruction will be provided, and you don't have to be a grunt to collaborate with PewPewHQ in this or any way. Finally, you can also record and send prayer requests of a minute or less. Prayers can be included in an episode, read anonymously if you wish, or kept private for me to pray for off of air. So there you have it. Three ways to participate in First Formation. I hope you'll continue to listen, even if I haven't convinced you to fall in. This has been Brother Logan Isaac, always faithful, always family. Semper Familia.